Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. And this episode of All of It is full of conversations with authors who have come by our studio to talk about their recent book releases. My next guest is novelist Helen Oyeyemi. We're all familiar with the broad strokes of a classic fairy tale. Hansel and Gretel are left to fend for themselves in the woods by an evil stepmother and a hapless stepfather. Their trail of breadcrumbs gobbled up by greedy birds. The starving kids wander through the forest until they come across what looks like a dream, a house made entirely of gingerbread. Inside is a witch and, well, you know the rest. Helen Oyeyemi's novel, Gingerbread, isn't a modern retelling of the story, but there are eerie references. There's a Gretel in the novel and a few starving kids, but at the center of it is a mystical, magical cookie. The novel's protagonist, Harriet, knows how to make a certain kind of gingerbread to perfection. In fact, once people try it, they're hooked. Her daughter, Perdita, can't get enough of the stuff, even though it makes her sick. Harriet offers the gingerbread to people as a gesture of friendship, but she just can't seem to find her place or make lasting connections. When the gingerbread becomes the cause of a family tragedy, Harriet reveals the story of her life, a childhood that began in a faraway land, the series of events that led her to England, and a story that, of course, ends in a gingerbread house. The name of the novel is Gingerbread, and it's out now. I began my conversation with Helen Oyeyemi, asking her to describe the protagonist of the book, Harriet.
Harriet is someone who, for better or worse, defines herself by her gift, and her gift is very, very specific, and it's making gingerbread. And I think, you know, she's not somebody who would go on about it, but through the book, she's sort of distressed by her inability to successfully offer that gingerbread. She feels that it's all that she has to offer the world, and she's looking for a bidder, and in some sense, she's stuck in her childhood because the one person she met who really loved and appreciated her gingerbread for all that it is this figure, Gretel, who's sort of vanished from her life but remains as a sort of trace or a presence on her memories. So it's as if she's going around the world looking for Gretel or for people who see her and her gingerbread in the way that Gretel did. But meanwhile, she's this happy mother to Perdita. She's the mother of a child that she doesn't understand at all. And her own mother is like, I don't understand you either. So there's this chain, there's that chain of like love without necessarily understanding that goes on.
It's interesting at one point in the book early on, she's trying to offer her gingerbread to fellow parents in the Parent-Teacher Association, people that she imagines perhaps look down on her. And they don't accept it. They're not warm. They don't really welcome her or her gingerbread in. Why did you want to set it up so early on that she had these struggles? And that's a very specific thing about a Parent-Teacher Association.
Right, I think I was thinking a lot about gingerbread as a foodstuff and how it's almost a vessel for our ideas about what's cozy, but also about what's creepy. You have this parental power association. A lot of these people are homemakers. They're very familiar with the domestic, and there is some way in which offering your own version of homemade is a threat to someone else's version of homemade. So it was an interesting conflict. You have this person like trying to offer you something cozy, and you're like, no, I have my own coziness. Thank you very much. That kind of thing.
So you mentioned Gretel. Gretel is a childhood friend of Harriet. How would you describe Gretel?
She's completely ferocious, but she has a soft spot for Harriet because of the gingerbread, which I think makes Harriet wonder a little bit about. So Harriet has this continual conflict about whether her gingerbread is good or bad, mm-hmm. In nature, and she thinks that there must be something slightly malicious in its nature since Gretel likes it so much. There's an interesting friendship in that Harriet's able to see like these good sides in Gretel, but practically everyone else who meets Gretel is like, she's a terrible girl. But somehow there's that bond between them because Harriet's a very nice girl, and yet there's this kind of complicity between the two of them as if they're two sides of a coin in some way.
And then you mentioned her daughter, Perdita.
Yeah.
And Perdita is strong-willed.
Very.
Very, very strong-willed. What did you want us to know about their relationship? And can you give me, our listeners, an example of something that you think really embodies the relationship between Harriet and Perdita?
Well, I don't know if this counts as a spoiler. I mean, you'll just find out how strange the book is if you read it, but their dolls talk or seem to talk. And I think that...
The dolls that are on Perdita's bed.
Yes. It's something that I think it's very hard as a third person, if you were standing in the room with them, whether you would actually see the dolls talk or whether this is something that Harriet and Perdita are experiencing together as a sense of almost... Not a mutual delusion, but it's mm-hmm. a sign of their closeness that the dolls speak for both of them. The dolls don't speak in front of Harriet's mother, Perdita's grandmother. It's only for them that this conversation is going on. And I think, yeah, that's just a sign of how personal that is.
I'm interested in, and this may just be the history nerd in me, but you describe Harriet's name as Harriet Araminta Lee, Araminta, and Araminta was... Harriet Tubman's.
You're the first person to pick up on that. I wrote an excellent biography of Harriet Tubman. I was like, I love that that's Harriet Tubman's middle name. So yeah, I mean, Harriet is named after that Harriet. So, good catch.
Thank you. Was it because of the historical reference or just you liked the name Araminta?
Kind of a mix of both. It's more, I just like things that resonate throughout time. Like there's this recurrence of the name but attached to a very different person. Mm-hmm.
They used to call her Minty. I just thought, that cannot be an accident.
Certainly wasn't.
My guest is Helen Yoyemi. The name of her book is Gingerbread. It's out now. The novel starts with these sentences. Harriet Lee's gingerbread is not comfort food. There's no nostalgia baked into it, no hearkening back to innocent indulgences and jolly times at nursery. It's not humble, nor is it dusty in the crumb. What does gingerbread represent in this novel? I know it's the most obvious question, but it's the one that you think about through the entire book because it's so important.
It is. I set out sort of hoping that I would find out what gingerbread meant by the end of it, but gingerbread kept eluding me. It was as if you have this symbolic food stuff, and I tried to sort of ask it what it is, and then it kept swerving into questions of... value, like that was very important. Real and fake money, what things mm-hmm. are worth, whether something being worth the world to one person and worthless to other people, like what are the implications of that? But also about transactions within relationships, transactions with between people of different classes, like this exchange that Harriet is expected to make at one point where she just has to be a very grateful person and very good and docile because she has apparently been saved. And whether that is feasible or even a functional relationship mm-hmm. that you can have with someone like this benefactor, almost a Victorian sort of benefactee relationship. And also lots of issues surrounding childhood and I suppose having to earn your keep as a child, like the ways in which it's necessary to perform the role of a child in mm-hmm. order to receive the benefits of childhood in some way. Just lots of structural things came to mind when I was really trying to pin down the essence of gingerbread. So.
And it's such an interesting choice because it doesn't swing obviously in either direction as being something that you love or immediately, like if you said sugar cookie or you said mm-hmm. pound cake, but gingerbread, some people hate it.
Yeah.
Some people don't like the taste of it. It's also very strong. Yes, it's a very strong cookie in a sense.
It's a strong flavor, yes. And also, it's strong enough to build houses from and to mm-hmm. make people out of, like the gingerbread man. So there is that, the density of it can be slightly sinister in, mm-hmm. in some way.
So it's interesting in the plot, there's a story within a story. Did you always set out to write it that way?
That's the way that my stories tend to go, possibly for better or for worse. And I mean, there was an element of surprise in finding out what the book was about as I wrote it. So there's quite a distressing segment quite early on where I was like, oh, is it going to be this kind of book? And then I was like, oh, am I going to have to do this? And then it changed almost of its own accord. And I was like, yay, it's another kind of book. And then it turned into another kind of book. So really, I was just kind of a shocked bystander while all of these things were happening.
That's so interesting you should say that, Helen, because the New York Times review of your book states that reading your sentences is, quote, like grabbing onto the tail of a vibrant living creature without knowing what you'll find at the other end. It's absolutely exhilarating. That sounds like the experience of your writing, maybe.
I love if I've been able to communicate what I feel writing to a reader. I love that review.
So when you don't write in this linear way, this is Harriet woke up, Harriet and Perdita have this issue, and then they do here. You don't really, you know, it's not necessarily told in a linear way. How do you as a writer stay on top of your characters and what has happened to them? Do you keep notebooks, or is it just in your memory?
Really, it's a matter of just pursuing it as it happens, and then looking back after I've written a bunch of things and seeing if I see some kind of unity, and if I do, then I'm happy to just leave it. But if I don't, then obviously I need to fix some links or things like that. It's a very organic development.
Does that practically happen to you? You look back and think, oh, I've ended up here, so this section might not make sense anymore.
It does happen, and then I fix it. Or leave it.
That's practical. My guest is Helen Yoyemi. The name of her book is Gingerbread. She'll be speaking tonight at Greenlight Bookstore in Fort Greene, which is a very cool place. So a lot, as we mentioned earlier, you mentioned earlier, the dolls in this book talk. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fantasy. There's a lot that we think, is this happening? Is this not happening? Is this a real place? Is this not a real place? So is it Druhastrana?
Druhastrana.
Druhastrana is a country that you make up. It features prominently in the novel. It's a fairy tale, but land sort of. But it's also there's some grim realities of living here. What did you want people to know about this place?
I don't think I had a specific message with the place. The name of it in Czech means other side, but it could also mean other page, which I quite liked. So it kind of felt like almost a metafictional reference there, where it was like, this is a story within a story within the book within a story, like kind of all of these layers. But I mean, it's slightly a comment on the ways in which when there's a change of power in our nations, like some countries like get recognized or suddenly stop being recognized. I was thinking about this with Prague recently. We had a mayor that maybe for the past 5 years didn't recognize Tibet, but like now there's a new mayor, so now the Tibetan flag is flown when the leader in exile visits. Mm. And like, so for 5 years there was no Tibet for Prague, but now there is Tibet. It's like, it's just about, I guess, power structures that enable things to come into view or try to disappear things. But things really have their own existence all the time. It's not that they it's not as if they exist and then cease to exist. They continue to exist. It's just about recognition.
It's just about whose mind and worlds they exist depending upon who's in power.
Precisely. And I think it's a little bit like that with Druhastrana.
And we should mention for people, you live in Prague now?
I do.
You said, oh, in Czech, they just threw that off.
Yeah, it's the best city.
My guest is Helen Oyeyemi. The name of her book is Gingerbread. It is out now. So we've talked about how all this fantastical stuff that's in the book, but then you also mention Wikipedia and Tinder and Uber. What was your intention behind having all these things that we have in our real, very modern life up against a place that doesn't exist and dolls that talk and magic gingerbread?
No intention. I mean, it was just, it's just a book that's set now, and I didn't want to obscure that. Like, I just was enjoying the nowness of it.
There's this, you mentioned it earlier, the matriarchy, this sense of Margot, the grandmother, Harriet, and Perdita. Mm-hmm. Were you looking to examine motherhood, or is it daughtership?
No,
the right word is.
Neither. I can't examine things. I don't have that kind of systematic way of thinking. I liked the sense of an intergenerational relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like maybe the way to just carry the future forward is just to have that faith in each other that, you know, I don't get her at all or what she's doing, but I'm sure that she's a good person, which I think is what all three of them feel about each other.
And that these people will always support one another. You always know that your mother, most people, 99%, that there will be support for you from your mother, whether or not she understands you or not.
Yeah, it's how we make things possible for each other, and it kind of, there's room for a kind of radical freedom there, just knowing that whatever you do that sincerely comes from you will be supported by the mother, the grandmother, whoever that figure is.
The name of the book is Gingerbread by author Helen Oyeyemi. Stay with us. We'll have more summer reading picks on the other side of the news. You're listening to All of It on WNYC.